Cardinal Francis George of Chicago just published a book, and it's a collection of essays and sermons from the past many years. And a particular essay grabbed my attention. It's called The Difference God Makes. And the Cardinal begins with this sort of imagined scenario. He said, I'm walking through the Chancery Office, the administrative offices of the Archdiocese, and I'm sitting down with all the employees and the volunteers, and I ask this question. Would you do your job any differently if God didn't exist? It's a very provocative kind of question, and it's really an interrogative echo of a famous remark made by Cardinal Suard, who was the post-war Archbishop of Paris. Suard said this, you should live your life in such a way that it makes no sense unless God exists. Now see, what both cardinals are getting at is this very interesting idea. Your Christianity has to show up. It has to invade your life in a public way, that it informs your gestures, your decisions, the way you concretely live your life. Otherwise, Christianity devolves pretty quickly into a bland, abstract cultural form. Now, Cardinal George took this essay, the title of this essay, as the title of the entire collection. I think it's not accidental at all, because the public nature of the faith is a leitmotif that runs through the entire collection. Here's one way it shows up very strongly. The Cardinal is deeply interested in the right interpretation of Vatican II. He argues, I think quite persuasively, that John the 23rd imagined Vatican II as a missionary council. The purpose of it was to make the Church more effective in evangelizing the world. Lumen Gentium, Christ is the light of the nations. Well, that's the Church's job now, is to bring that light to the whole world. The trouble is, as the Cardinal reads it, in the years after the Council, Vatican II was construed very often not as a missionary council to evangelize the world, but rather as the call to accommodate the Church to the modern world. And this misinterpretation has been disastrous. How come? Because, and here the Cardinal, I think, is very good in his philosophical analysis, because modernity is characterized by the primacy of the autonomous will. The great value of modernity, you might say, is the freedom of the autonomous will to determine its own life, its own purposes. But this is directly repugnant to the classical Catholic view that our freedom, which is real, we really are free, but our freedom is always situated in the much wider context of the objective truth of things. I don't define myself so much by my will. Rather, I'm defined by, my freedom is put in relation to the objective truths discoverable in the structures of nature and the content of revelation. I think that juxtaposition of liberty and truth is a major concern of Cardinal George. Let me give a couple of examples derived from the doctrinal tradition of the Church. The Church teaches the doctrine of creation. That means that we are, prior to any choice of ours, already connected to God. We're already grounded by a relationship to God, and through God to everybody else and everything else. Communion, in other words, is not something we choose primarily. It's something already given to us. And we find our freedom by surrendering to that great truth. Now, push it even further, and the Cardinal insists on this. Even behind creation is the doctrine of the Trinity, that God is not so much an individual, but God is a play, is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is love. That means that love is the deepest structuring truth of things. I don't arbitrarily choose to be a person of love. In a certain way, I'm already engrafted onto love. I already come up out of love. And so I find my freedom authentically in choosing it, in confirming it. Freedom and truth always in this very deep harmony. Now, the Cardinal, in the most learned and densest essay in the book, develops this in what he calls a philosophy of esse per. It's Latin for to be through, being through the other. At the Mass, we say through him, with him, and in him. Well, see, that's a truth that obtains at all levels of reality. We exist for each other and through each other, precisely because we are created by God and grounded in the love that God is. We don't, again, choose to be related. We are already related to each other, and we find ourselves as we ratify that sort of coming together. Well, that's very high philosophy, but the cardinal gives a wonderfully homely example of this principle of essay pair. He says that that his mother would always pick out his father's clothes because he wasn't very good at choosing his ties and his suits. But his mother, who loved him and wanted him to look good, picked out his clothes, and then she rejoiced in the fact that he looked good. He rejoiced in the fact that she was able to make him look good. In other words, they existed through each other and for each other. And the more you fall in love, the truer that becomes. What they were doing was, in his now very philosophical perspective, they were grounding their freedom in this very deep truth of things. Now, you can articulate it in the widest metaphysical horizon, or you can see it in that very particular example. Now, this is why Cardinal George says, in maybe the most famous essay in the book, that liberalism is an exhausted project. Now, he's been misconstrued on that, as though he's saying, I hate the modern world, let's just turn away from contemporary culture. No, no, he doesn't mean that at all. He means the view that the autonomous self is primary, that's an exhausted project. That's a project that cannot really get off the ground because it's freedom divorced from truth. So that's when he's going after liberalism within the Catholic Church, that's what he means. And that links him, by the way, to one of his heroes, his fellow cardinal, John Henry Newman. Newman, when he became a cardinal, at the end of his life, gave a famous speech. And in that speech he said, my entire life has been a steady battle against liberalism in religion. Now again, Newman was someone who was very open to the contemporary culture, was very plugged into what was going on around him. In fact, was seen by many people as more of a liberal Catholic. But what he meant was the same thing Cardinal George meant. The view that there is no truth in religion. The view that everything is kind of relative to the whim of the personal choice. Newman was against that in the 19th century. Cardinal George is against it now at the beginning of the 21st century. Now, in these few minutes, I can just give a little hint of the riches of this book, both philosophical, theological, also cultural. So I'd really recommend people, they pick up this book, The Difference God Makes, and dip into these very rich musings of one of the brightest bishops on the scene today.